The Blue Water Chamber of Commerce hosts a variety of networking events, connecting their members with leads, referrals, and people they can do business with. See what's happening at the Chamber and how they can help your business grow at bluewaterchamber.com.
All right, 10 minutes past 9 o'clock on this Thursday morning. This week marks the one year since the beginning of the war in Ukraine. And, of course, President Biden visited there earlier this week, pledging more military support in at least financially for the war effort in Ukraine. And there seems to be this conversation, whether you're for aid to Ukraine or not. There are other things to consider, says our next guest, who is with the Friends Committee on National Legislation, essentially a Quaker organization. And I'm wondering what the pacifist view is of a war like this and helping the people of Ukraine. Bridget Moik's on the line with us right now. Bridget, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and I appreciate you joining us. You have a different take on whether or not the U.S. should be supporting Ukraine with military support. Explain your position.
Sure. Well, I think that what we've seen now, 1 year into the full-scale invasion, and I would just remind all of us that actually Ukraine has been suffering in the east of the country from military incursions by Russia since 2014. So there's been almost a decade of war in that part of the country. And what we've seen over the past year is a continued escalation of the military confrontation. Certainly don't blame the Ukrainians for wanting as much support in all forms as possible to defend their country. But unfortunately, it's not working. What we're seeing is a continued humanitarian disaster, 8 million refugees from Ukraine spread across Europe, most of them women and children, tens of thousands of casualties, both civilian and combat, a food crisis that we've had to manage in the world, partly caused by this war. And so the effects of the war are widespread, and it's not going to end on the battlefield, at least not with enormous more costs. So we are really focused on how is this war going to end as quickly as possible, and that has to be at the negotiating table. Unfortunately, we have had a huge focus on the military strategy without enough focus on a diplomatic pathway out of the war. And particularly given that this is a conflict with a nuclear-armed state who has shown very little regard for civilian life, that continued military escalation is extremely concerning. So what we would like to see is for Congress and the administration to put as much effort, at least, as they are into the military strategy, into a diplomatic strategy to bring the war to an end as quickly as possible, save as many lives as possible at this point, and find a political strategy out. That has to be led by the Ukrainians, in a diplomatic process with Russians and other parties engaged, but we need to be supporting that.
Do you think that a diplomatic solution is possible? Because Russia really seems very determined to take over Ukraine. I don't know if there is a diplomatic solution here, and yet there almost has to be.
I think that's exactly right, and we won't know until we really try and keep trying, and that is the hard part of diplomacy. Peacemaking doesn't happen with your friends. It actually happens across the table with those you call enemies. And so we do know that the U.S. has a long history of negotiating with Russia, even under very difficult circumstances. We saw the U.N. and Turkey and others work with Russia in July to establish the Black Sea Grain Initiative, which allowed the release of agricultural exports out of the ports, and that actually needs to be renewed in March. So that's a very specific diplomatic piece that needs to happen now. And so we know that it can work. It won't be easy. There are certainly other examples of conflicts with very difficult actors, and the processes that had to be taken to end those wars were not easy. But the battlefield option of trying to win this war leads to further and further escalation and danger. So I think I don't have an easy answer of what the solution will be, but we need to be at the table constantly trying.
Finally, Bridget, you mentioned supporting the people of Ukraine, but not necessarily on the battlefield. How can we, other than, you know, through diplomatic efforts, what are some things we can all be doing to help the people of Ukraine?
Absolutely. Well, the U.S. has been providing and certainly needs to provide more humanitarian assistance. This is a huge humanitarian disaster, and it will take years, if not decades, to help the Ukrainian people recover and rebuild their country eventually. So we need to be in this for the long haul in terms of supporting the humanitarian needs. We also can support a lot of non-military civilian aid that happens. And so there are things like documenting the war abuses and the atrocities that are happening. That's really important. And that kind of support for the civilian efforts in Ukraine to respond, document the war, make sure that they're doing everything they can to protect civilians who are still caught in it. That is ongoing support that we can also be providing and should be providing. And there's a lot of trauma from this war, and there'll be a lot of work that needs to happen to continue supporting whatever comes next.
Bridget, I appreciate your take on this. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.